One of the challenges, too, many of us, when we're called to teach, are just overwhelmed with the enormity of the assignment and feel inadequate and unprepared. But you know, if we'll do our best to study the resources we're given and get into the Scriptures and then just trust in the Spirit, we'll be helped through the process. I think sometimes we just are overwhelmed because we don't know enough.
Absolutely. And we all feel that way. Every teacher who's ever taught has felt that way. And I think it's fair to say, I think we all here represent the collective effort of the church to put good material in people's hands. We really do have good curricular materials. We have good lesson manuals, and they don't teach themselves, but there's a great reassurance there that we're not in this alone. We don't have to reinvent a wheel here. We've got a wonderful resource, and we're going to talk about that on through the day here. But that helps us not feel quite so overwhelmed. Well, let's move on to begin to make some other points. When President Packer was talking with Elder Perry, he said there was something that he, in fact, I've got the quote. He said, "I always relied on blank, whether at the pulpit or standing in the front of the class." He said he never wanted to go anywhere without him. What did he say? I heard you say it, Sister Beck. The Scriptures. The Scriptures, absolutely. Would you put number two, Sister Hughes, teach from the Scriptures? I don't think that we can overstate this or overestimate this in our role teaching in the church. Obviously, because the very substance of the gospel, the Scriptures themselves, are the things that we're being called to teach. Whether it's primary, right on up through our adult groups, all of our teenage groups, whatever, at home or in the church. And I'm reminded of a powerful thing said, turn to Alma 31 with me, will you, please? A favorite verse that I think says this about as powerfully as any verse that I know of in the Scriptures. Alma had taken on a very, very serious mission, a very difficult mission, the mission to the Zoramites. And he had just had his exchange with Korihor. This is a difficult part of this book. And he finds what works for him and he finds what doesn't in this challenge to teach and to testify. Brother Wada, it looks like you are scurrying to that verse. Sure. Would you read Alma 31 and 5?
"And now, as the preaching of the word had a great tendency to lead the people to do that which was just, yea, it had more powerful effect upon the minds of the people than the sword, or anything else which had happened unto them. Therefore, Alma thought it was expedient that they should try the virtue of the Word of God."
Thank you very much. Over the years, this has just become a favorite scripture for me. Maybe we're not supposed to have favorites, but we all have verses we return to time and again, and I've returned again and again to this one. As the preaching of the Word, the power of the Word, had a great tendency to lead the people to do that which was just. It had a more powerful effect upon the minds of the people than the sword, and they've had plenty of sword in this book and in life, or anything else, all the other battlegrounds and conflicts and challenges we faced. It had a more powerful effect upon the minds of the people than the sword or anything else. Therefore, Alma thought it was expedient that they should try the virtue of the Word of God. One of the other words for virtue is power. When the woman came to touch the hem of Christ's garment in the scene in the New Testament, and he said, "Virtue has gone out of me," the original Greek New Testament language for that is "power has gone out of me." Same point. But so we can read that into here that Alma's saying we should try the power of the Word of God since it has such a powerful effect. Please, Brother Wada.
"The power of Word of God that you mentioned, I think that everybody comes to church and to learn something and want to be nurtured. And there's one phrase from a book of Jacob. Just let me just quote this here.
Please, Jacob, give me a citation and I'll repeat it on the
Jacob mic. 2, verse 8.
Jacob 2, verse 8. Thank you.
"He supposes me that they have come to hither to hear the pleasing word of God, yea, the word of God, healeth the wounded soul.
Thank you. What a wonderful verse. I've used that verse for a lot of different reasons, but not that one. That's great.
Nothing is more satisfying than just after teaching a class and somebody come to me and this is exactly what I wanted to hear. Well, and I needed it.
And the profound point, thank you, Brother Wada, because people come to church for a spiritual experience. That's why they come. We come to church, and we come gathered in these settings to hear the Word of God, to hear declaration and spirit and testimony and conviction. When tough times come, that won't. When we need to be healed, what the world offers isn't going to be enough. We come to be healed by the Word of God. That's a terrific verse. Vicki, please, Sister Matsumori.
I'll tell you, for most primary teachers, teaching from the Word of God with children is a real challenge.
Good point.
It's, you know, they don't read, they don't have their own scriptures, they're not familiar with it in a...
Good point.
In a setting beyond, if their family hasn't provided, it can be challenging.
Here's an experienced primary teacher giving us just a little caution there to realize that we're going to get children at all stages of their development and to bring them along as children need to be brought along. Good reminder, Sister Matsumori. Brother Dahlquist.
It's even the same with young men and young women, and that is if they're going to understand it, they have to, as Nephi said, they need to be able to apply it. They need to relate.
Liken it unto themselves.
They need to have the scriptures come alive.
And we're talking about a lot of experience here. Some experiences in the home. We've got our seminary and institute teachers in the audience. We're talking about something that really has to grow over time. Our young men, our young women. We won't be impatient if it takes a while for this to develop. Please, Brother Jensen.
So far, I think our discussion is concentrated on these, the four standard works. We do have other scripture.
You want to say a word about the living prophets?
And since I have a little bit of a hand on the publications of the church in the curriculum department, we do have good manuals. And we do have...
And magazines.
And magazines and stories. Aren't they powerful?
The great test of answering that very question is all the material that we can measure against the Declaration of the Standard Works, those become tools in our hands. And we do have great material, to say nothing of the whole world of the living prophets and semi-annual general conference broadcasts and those publications that go to the church. We have a wealth of the Word of God available to us, and we ought to use them. Sister Hughes.
But this raises in my mind the why question. We frequently see that, as Elder Oaks pointed out in another talk that he gave, that there is just cursory acknowledgement that manual is even there.
And then go off on our own.
And I guess the question I would just pose today is, why do we do that? I mean, how can we help our brothers and sisters understand that the handbooks and the manuals are for our edification?
That's a good reminder. Fits with Elder Jensen's comment, who does have some immense responsibilities for the curriculum of the church. In the spirit of the wonderful comments you've made and the insights you've given me, new insights, about the power of the Word and the healing and the help and the light that comes, I'm reminded of a story not recorded on our tape, but a story that President Packer told the Quorum of the Twelve some years ago. He talked about a severe winter in Utah when the snow was excessive and had driven the deer herds down very low into some of the valleys, and some of them were trapped. They were trapped by fences and circumstances as they were taken out of their natural habitat. And well-meaning, perfectly responsive, capable agencies tried to respond to feed those deer and to get them through the crisis of the winter. And they brought in hay and dumped it everywhere, about as good as they could do under the circumstances. When an immense number of those deer were found starved to death, and the review and the people who handled those animals afterwards said that their stomachs were full of hay, but they had starved to death. They had been fed, but they had not been nourished. And every teacher needs to remember that we've got to nourish. It is to nourish by the good Word of God. And classes can, and we can be fed too. That can be part of the fun of it. But a part of the significance of anchoring in the Word of God.